Tuesday. Today is April the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, high pathogenic avian influenza is something that was impacting the country last year. We talked quite a bit about the negative impacts to the poultry industry and the depopulation that had to be done. Now it's been found impacting some dairy animals on the West Coast. We'll talk more about that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
In livestock news, USDA and other federal agencies yesterday confirmed an unknown number of dairy cattle in Texas and Kansas dairy farms have become sick with a highly pathogenic avian influenza. Now, during the last 2 years, highly pathogenic avian influenza, otherwise known as HPAI, has led to infections and depopulations of more than 115 million chickens and turkeys in commercial and backyard poultry flocks. However, now HPAI appears to have jumped species to affect a small number of dairy herds in the southern and plain states. Now, the Texas Department of Agriculture cited that a mysterious disease has been working its way through the Texas panhandle before USDA officials identified the illness as a strain of HPAI. The Kansas Department of Agriculture also reported that at least two commercial dairy operations were affected. Now, in a news release yesterday, the USDA stated that the Food and Drug Administration, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and state veterinarians and public health officials are investigating the illnesses that have recently hit primarily older dairy cows in Texas, Kansas, and New Mexico that are causing the decreased lactation, low appetite, and other symptoms. And while stating this is a, quote, rapidly evolving situation, USDA stated there was no impact on human health, including milk or other dairy products. USDA also tested unpasteurized milk from sick cattle on at least two dairy farms in Kansas and one in Texas, as well as a swab from other Texas dairies that tested positive for high path avian influenza. USDA stated additional testing began last Friday and over the weekend because farms had reported decreased wild birds on their properties. Based on the findings from Texas, the detections appear to have been introduced by wild birds. Texas has about 645,000 dairy cows, while New Mexico has about 243,000, and Kansas has 172,000 dairy cows. Now, the USDA stated the initial testing by the National Veterinary Service Laboratories has not found changes to the HPAI virus that would make it more transmissible to humans, which would indicate that the current risk to the public remains low. Federal and state agencies are moving quickly to conduct additional testing for HPAI, as well as viral genome sequencing, so that we can better understand the situation, including characterization of the HPAI strain or strains associated with these detections. At this stage, there is no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply, or that the circumstance poses a risk to consumer health, according to the USDA. Dairies are required to send only milk from healthy animals into processing for human consumption, and milk from affected animals is being diverted or destroyed so it does not enter the food supply. In addition, pasteurization has continually proven to inactivate bacteria and viruses like influenza in milk. Pasteurization is required for any milk entering interstate commerce. Now, there is no threat to the public. There will be no supply shortages, said Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller. No contaminated milk is known to have entered the food chain. It's all been dumped, and in the rare event that some affected milk enters the food chain, the pasteurization process will kill the virus. Now, officials did not state how many cattle were infected, but the USDA stated that about 10% of each of the dairy farms were infected, with little to no associated mortality reported among the animals. Texas officials stated the cattle experienced flu-like symptoms, including a fever and thick and discolored milk, as well as sharp reductions in their milk production. These dairies involved were losing as much as 40% of their milk production for 7 to 10 days until those symptoms subsided in the cattle.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change direction slightly, but still stay within the livestock industry, as a recent USDA study looked at potential stocking impacts and the financial climate risks within its livestock forage disaster program. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Drought conditions can lead cattle producers to make decisions regarding the stocking numbers or liquidation of their herds. Yet, how does USDA's Livestock Forage Disaster Program mitigate those decisions?
The Livestock Forage Disaster Program, which is administered by USDA's Farm Service Agency, aims to alleviate some of these financial pressures by offering financial compensation to livestock producers that are impacted by drought. Drought conditions are defined by the U.S. Drought Monitor.
Aaron Rozencik of the Agriculture Department's Economic Research Service is among a group of researchers taking a closer look at LFP.
We at ERS were interested at looking at the impact of this program because the Farm Service Agency has spent about $12 billion in 2022 dollars between 2008 and 2022 on this program. So it was a question to us, how is this program influencing livestock producers' stocking and herd retention decisions?
Among the findings within the recently released ERS study,
counties that were eligible for LFP payments behaved similarly in terms of their livestock herd retention and stocking decisions as those that were less affected by drought and eligible for payments. To us, that's saying that the program is encouraging some herd retention when producers are faced by drought.
Research was also detailed into the connection between federal expenses with the Livestock Forage Disaster Program and mitigating greenhouse gases.
We find that the Livestock Forage Disaster Program can potentially constitute a financial climate risk for the federal government in the future. What we found is that by the 2070 to 2100 time period, annual aggregate average LFP payments may increase by more than 100% in 2022 dollars than the average between 2014 and 2022.
Then there was investigation into how the very definition of drought, if changed over time due to changing climatic conditions, could alter the current financial climate risk model of LFP.
What we also found is that how drought is classified is really important for this financial climate risk of the program. So if how drought's classified, it changes over time or evolves to reflect changing climatic patterns, then the program constitutes a much smaller financial climate risk for the federal government.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.